Turn to Daniel chapter 6 tonight. We'll be continuing our Daniel series in chapter 6. This, of course, is a very familiar story. We've learned this from our youth up. She okay? But this is a very familiar story. We learned this from a child up, and we're going to just go through it again and see what we can glean out of it. I love how the Word of God, that it's like every time you go through it, no matter how many times you read something, God can give you something new out of it. That's what I love about the Word of God. We can read a story, and I mean, you know, I've been pastoring 15 years and been a Christian for most of my life, and it's amazing how I'll read something and sometimes the first time see it. It's like, I've heard that verse, read it 30 times, and I've never, till just now, ever even seen that. But that's the revelation of God that brings it to light, and I'm just so thankful for that. So Daniel 6, remember what we talked about last week in Daniel 5? King Belshazzar died. He was killed in war. If you remember, they were feasting and drinking and giving to wine and partying, and, you know, like it was 1999 instead of 539 B.C. And they just gave no wisdom to what was happening around them. The Persian army was surrounding them, and they were so arrogant in their pride of who they were, they thought, oh, they're not going to, you know, touch us. We're okay. But yet they did. And they came in. They killed the king. They took over Babylon. And so now the Persians are in control. And just so you'll know a little bit of your history here, we talked about how the Babylon was in modern-day Iraq. Well, Persia's in modern-day Iran. And so now Iran's taken over Iraq. And as we know, we still have problems all these years later with these two nations. Some things just don't change. And so now the Persians have control, and they've got a new king, a Persian king. And we pick it up here in chapter 6 as King Darius. And what amazes me as we read through this, we'll see how Daniel, no matter who was king, was still used. And no matter what they really believed in, he was still used. No matter what season they were in, Daniel was used by God. And remember, Daniel was taken captive as a young man, late teens to early adulthood, taken captive as a prisoner of war. All these years, God used him in a pagan nation to show forth the glory of God. Which tells us this. You know what that tells me? Aren't we to a degree around a lot of pagan people? And we sort of live in pagan times. And how God can use us. We talk about how our culture, like how Don's using his faith in his world. And a woman rises up and says, I don't like it. And I don't get him in trouble. But God shows up and shows us that even when paganism is around us, that God is in us and that we can be used by God to show forth his glory. And so that's what I'm thankful for, that in our generation, which we know is a lot of crookedness, a lot of immorality, a lot of darkness, a lot of unbelief, that we still can be used in the very center of that, be used by God to show forth his praises. So don't get discouraged when you're surrounded by evil. Don't get discouraged when darkness is all around you. Don't get discouraged. You know, it's like Christian. She went to UNCG, went there for 3 years. And as we know, most of our universities, unless they're Christian universities, the majority of universities are very liberal. And they teach that. They teach that. Christian had a very hard time in her 3 years finding anyone on campus that believed like her. And that is insane to think that. And what I'm so proud of her with is that she stood her ground, just like Sarah did. Stood her ground. You did stand your ground, right? Okay. Stood her ground. In the middle of all the people around her that didn't believe like her, that didn't see God the way she saw God, didn't see life the way she saw life, but she kept her faith through those 3 years. She did not let professors fill her ears with stuff that changed her heart. And she was in a very paganistic kind of situation and yet stood her ground. That's what we are called to do. And this is what Daniel continually did. So we pick up in chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. So this tells me, if you do some studying, that Daniel was kind of like vice president. He was second in command under King Darius. Here he is again, in authority. It's amazing how God raises up his people to be in authority. Now, why was Daniel picked? Because of the good spirit that he had, and because the favor of God was upon him. Once again, you got to realize, I mean, this is like Don being in Iran right now, and the king saying, Don, I want you to be my vice president over all my affairs. But you know I believe in the God of Abraham. Yeah, I know who you believe in. I know you don't believe in Allah like we do. That's okay. I want you to be vice president. This in itself was astounding, to be honest. This in itself was what we call crossing the aisle and working with the other side. Wouldn't you say? Here's a man that didn't believe in all the gods that the Persians believed in. Didn't believe at all in the gods they served. But yet he was chosen to be second in command over all of his affairs. And he was over all these 120 princes in place. And the reason he picked them, it says in verse 2, he said he was second, first that the princes might give account to him and the king should have no damage. When the chips are down, who do people turn to? People of God. They turn to him. You know why? They can trust you. And so he said, I don't want to lose anything financially, and I trust Daniel. He's a man of integrity and character. And I know we may not see eye to eye spiritually, religiously, but I know he's going to take care of me because he's a man of honor. When people are in a situation that they are desperate, they need help, they need hope, they don't normally, I mean, they may some, but when they get serious, they're not going to the bar on Saturday night trying to hook up with some, you know, yo-yo saying, oh, what do I do? They're going to come to someone they can trust. Someone that's got honor and integrity, strength, faith, virtue, and say, what can I do? I remember years ago when I was a store manager in Huntersville, I had a guy that worked in the office that he was a homosexual. Super nice guy, did a good job. He knew I was a, you know, minister. I wasn't pastoring then, but I was already a minister. And he called me at home one night. Now, I'm store manager. He called me at home one night and said, James, I just need to talk to you. Because I know you're a Christian. I struggle with homosexuality. And I spent, I don't know how long on the phone talking to this guy about the issue. He turned to me. It wasn't like I was at the store making fun of him or holding up signs or getting on the PA, all homosexuals coming out to. I wasn't doing that kind of thing. I mean, I treated him like everybody else with total respect. I knew he was, and I didn't badger him. Even at work, he would talk to me about the struggle and talk to me about how I felt and what I thought, and I would give him what the Bible said and what, you know, how God loved him and what God wanted to do in his life, and we formed a relationship. He called me at home, but he turned to me. That's what people do. They turn to people they can trust, and those people normally are people of faith because they may not follow your God or may not live like they should live before God, but when it comes down to it, they sure want a man of God or a woman of God to talk to them because they trust them. So he sets Daniel up as vice president. Then was Daniel preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Remember, he's second in command of this nation, a pagan nation. And remember, he was what they called a children of the Jews. I mean, he came out of the country they had captured generations ago. And he rose up from the ashes of that prisoner of war. And we've seen how he became Secretary of State under one king. Now he's promoted again. And at this point, Daniel was about 80 years old. 83 is close. So he's not a young man. He's around 80 years old. Gail, isn't that good news, brother? A VP may be waiting on you. 83 years old, and he is second in command. God's still using him at this age. Verse 4, then all the presidents and princes, they sought to find occasion against Daniel. Just like with Don, we just heard this. They're trying to find an accusation against him concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Of course, to be clear, as a disclosure, we know Daniel was not sinless. He was not perfect in that sense. But what he's talking about was he was honorable in his duties. And they couldn't find, he wasn't a crook. He wasn't smuggling money. He wasn't sleeping around with the king's women. He was a man of integrity that honored his position, took it serious, and honored the king. And they couldn't find anything against him. So what do they resort to when they can't find anything against you? Then these men We cannot find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes, all these 120, they assembled themselves together to the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree. Sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Now, this goes back, is also spoken of in the book of Esther. In the Mede-Persian law, once something was recorded, it cannot be altered, it cannot be changed. It was in stone. And the people knew that. So they knew if the king put it in writing, he couldn't change it later based on emotion or Daniel pleading or somebody else interfering. He knew once it was signed, it was a done deal. And they were trying to get him to sign this. What was going on? Jealousy. For one, jealousy of Daniel and his good spirit and the favor of God and the blessing of God upon him, and they wanted him out of the way. What were they appealing to with King Darius? Pride. They said, let them only ask of you. I mean, think about this. We'll use Don. He's the example tonight because he had a great testimony. Alarm South people come to Don. All of them gathered his little office, all, you know, 562 of them. And they come in his office and say, hey, Mr. King Don, we made a decree that if anyone in Alarm South asks or prays to anybody but you, Mr. King Don, we'll go throw him in the lion's den. Now, King Don's not careful. He's going to be thinking about that thing for a minute as he's sipping his cappuccino in the office. Pray to me for 30 days. And all of them staring at him. Yeah, King. Oh, live forever, King. We love you, King. Oh, hail, King. Oh, bless the King. Oh, thou art King. Building his ego up. Well, we've seen this story in Daniel already, right? All these kings that get all built up and realize how fast God can tear them down. So here's King Darius. His ego is being fed. They're appealing to that because we all have that. How many times we hear the expression? My poor grandma, I know she loves me. And Sarah will testify to this. She'll come to me one Sunday morning. That was good preaching, James. Now, I don't want to blow your head up, but that was good preaching. We've heard that expression, haven't we? I don't want to blow your head up. You know why? Because it's so easy. It's so easy for our egos to get out of check and think that we are the best thing since Star Wars. You know, that we're the best thing. It's so easy for that ego to get aroused because we like to feel like we're honored and we're important. All of us have that need. You know, for people to say, I don't care what they think about me, you may say it on Facebook and grunt it out and all that, but all of us truly care what people think about us. I don't want to be hated. Nobody wants to be hated. Talked about all the time. We want to feel loved. We want to feel honored and respected. Well, so did his king. So what did the king do? His ego was tapped into. Verse 9, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now it's in place. It cannot be changed. It cannot be repealed. Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Now, we could read this and think, was Daniel being defiant? Of course not. It's not like he said, okay, it's in writing. I'm going to do what I want to anyway. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. It wasn't the attitude of rebellion. It was the attitude of obedience. He knew the consequence if he got caught. He knew the price and the penalty that would be paid. But yet, after he knew what could happen to him, and this is a testament to all of us. See, we obey God's law. I mean, we obey man's law, and I believe in that. Totally believe we honor the authority in place to the best of our abilities unless it violates God's law, the word of God. It's like this. If someone comes to me, and so far that's not happened, not saying it won't, but it's not so far. If someone comes to me, two men, two women, say, Pastor, I want you to marry us. And I stand on my face, say, I do not marry same-sex couples. Well, of course, they could try to bring a civil suit. They could try to cause problems. They could march outside our church, whatever they want to do. But see, even though it's legal now to do that, in the natural law, it's legal. I've got to make a decision. Which am I following? Do I follow the laws in place signed by the king? Or do I follow the conviction of the Holy Ghost and what the Word of God says? And this is where Daniel was. Daniel was like, I know what the law says, but I can't pray to the king. He's not God. He's not my God. So he continued to be faithful and pray, knowing he would get caught, knowing the price he was going to pay, but willing to still do it. And I love how it says he opened the windows toward Jerusalem. This started back in Solomon's temple when the glory cloud came in and overshadowed them. And so Jerusalem was a sacred place to the saints of God. And Daniel was still looking for that hope that Jerusalem would be revived and be restored. And that's where his hope come from, Jerusalem. That's where he knew God was going to do something special. And that was where his heart was back in Jerusalem. His heart wasn't in that pagan nation, only his body. His heart was in Jerusalem. He prayed toward Jerusalem, knowing he'd get caught. Verse 12, they came near, or excuse me, verse 11. Then they assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I mean, these were just, I mean, to just set them up that way. They came near. They spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, yes, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah. Notice what they're saying here. He wasn't one of them. How do they address who Daniel? I love how they say that. You know, that Daniel, that old captive of Judea, that old Jew, that old people that's not like us, that old person that's a prisoner of war, that old God-fearing Abraham following that Jehovah God kind of guy. Love how they specify that, reminding the king of who he really was, where he came from. Says that, regarding thee, O king, he did not regard you, nor the decree you have signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, he was very displeased with himself. He loved Daniel. He needed Daniel. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. This tells me that he spent time probably seeking counsel, lawyers, legal counsel. How can I get him out of this? What can I do? I don't want this to happen. What's my options? But there was no options. This law was signed by the king, and he had to honor this law, even though he did it. Verse 15. Then these men assembled to the king, said the king, know, O king, the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, thy God, whom you service continually, he will deliver you. Isn't that amazing that he had so much expectation and hope in a God he didn't even serve? But he knew and seen and heard of the God Daniel served. I'm sure, I mean, just like our generations, we hear the past, we hear stories. Remember, Daniel was 80-some years old at this point. He'd been through several kings. And those stories, those generations kept telling about Daniel and his stance, how God used him to interpret the dream and how he promoted, how God did this, he promoted, how the three big children out of the fiery furnace, and this same God did all that. So this King Darius recognized that Daniel served a real living God. Verse 17, and the stone was brought, laid up on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed. They would put hot wax over this stone. Then the king and all of his prince would take their rings and make an imprint in the stone to show and declare any passerbyers, all those that go by, it was a sealed rock and it cannot be touched. It was done. Don't touch it. Don't move it. It's been authorized. It has to stay where it's at. So he made a royal finalization of this. Then the king went to his palace. He passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Most time of this time period, you know, they would eat a big feast. They would have entertainment before they went to bed at night. He skipped all that. No dinner, no food, no entertainment. His heart was heavy for Daniel. He wanted Daniel to be delivered. Kind of like us. Don't we regret things we do sometimes? We look back, why in the world? What have I done? Man, what have I done? Then the king arose very early in the morning. He went in to haste into the den of the lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Can you imagine the anticipation? Can you imagine his heart rate, what it was at that moment? Waiting to hear, would Daniel respond back? Is he still alive? Is my VP, is my man, is the one that I know serves a living God, will I hear his voice this morning? The anticipation he must have had, the fear he must have had to hear his voice back. Verse 21, then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much before him innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, I have done no hurt. God had shut their mouths. God can stop your enemy. No matter how surrounded you are, no matter how dire it looks, no matter how many mouths are open for attack against you, the hand of God can shut every mouth. The Bible says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I love Psalms 91. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It talks about him, you know, he will take care of me from the noise of pestilence, and from the arrows that flyeth by day, and all that. Psalms 91 is a powerful psalm of the protection power of God and what God does for us. I'll give my angels charge over thee to keep thee in all your ways. The lions had to obey, and what I believe, just like the three Hebrew children, and they saw that fourth man, they saw that more likely incarnate Christ in the furnace with them. Here he is again showing the lions den. I mean, can you imagine having the presence of Almighty God with you all night long, standing right there, keeping the mouths of these beasts shut that could not? Just like the Bible says, that I will raise up a standard against them. I will hold. I will stop. I will stop what the enemy is trying to do. I can stop it in its tracks. I can protect you. I can provide for you. I can deliver you. And he delivered Daniel and kept him all night long, because our God is the Lion King. He is over. He is king of the universe. He is king over all creation. He is king over every principality, over every power, over every spiritual wickedness in high places. He is king over all of those things. And there is nothing that can touch the people of God when God's hand is involved, church. He will stop it. He can shut it down when the devil is yelling and jumping and screaming and saying, it's over and you're done and you're finished. And God says, just wait. You've not seen me show up yet, but when I show up, everything changes. New ball game. It's all been reversed. Because when I show up, it's not like it was before. Don't fear because the enemy is surrounding you. It doesn't mean you're overtaken. It doesn't mean you're destroyed. It doesn't mean it's finished. It doesn't mean it's too late. It doesn't mean you've lost the battle or lost the war. It doesn't mean it's the end. There's times that God just wants to show who he is. And so we stand in the middle of the lion's den. Not sure what we do, but what Daniel did. I'll be faithful. I'm trusting you, Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Trust him. That's what Daniel did. Daniel knew the price he would pay and was willing to do it anyway. Just like the three Hebrew children who said, O king, we're not careful to answer you. Either way, we're delivered out of your hand. Whether it happens here or we're out of the furnace, we're out of your. You know what they were saying? You don't have control over us. God does. And God had control of Daniel. He survived this night with the lions. Verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him. And he commanded. Here's where Don comes in. Look at this, Don. He commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded and brought those men which had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, and their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, everyone, ever before they came at the bottom of the den. 120 families were eaten alive. She's lucky. Just lost a job. I mean, 120 families, their wives. And this sounds so brutal, but you know what? This was how it was in these nations. And it still is. These nations are still that brutal. Slaughtering women, raping women, imprisoning women. I mean, still completely, you know, beheading people. It's still a brutal part of the world. Because God vindicated Daniel, now his accusers are the ones that pay the price. All of a sudden, they thought they were being so smarty pants. We'll get rid of Daniel. We'll get this Judah guy out of the way, this Jewish boy out of the way, this man. I'm tired of Daniel. We'll get him out of the way. And boy, it came back to bite him. Karma. Talking about karma. Oh my gosh. Came back to bite him. As Daniel's in that lion's den all night singing Hakuna Matata, not the accusers. They're singing Going to the Bottom. I mean, that's what they're singing. Their accusers were destroyed. Then King Darius wrote to all of his people, his nations and languages that dwelled in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree, he's making a new decree now, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Think about this. Can you imagine Saddam Hussein rising up when he was alive and saying to all the people who talk about the God of James Lewis here in Iraq? I mean, this, the power and the favor of God was moving in a pagan nation in such a mighty way. Daniel was positioned in that place all those years for a purpose. And sometimes we find ourselves in a place we didn't really want to be, and we sure didn't plan to be, and don't even understand why we're there. But instead of all the I wish I wasn't and the what ifs, let's embrace the it is and I will. Let's embrace that. Embrace the current moment God has you in and make the best of it and say, God, in this place, I wouldn't have picked for myself. Here, God, I'll do what you call me to do. And I'll be what you've called me to be. And I'll go where you've called me to go. And I'll stand up to what you want me to stand up to. I may not have picked this. I may not even like it. But God, if you put me here, there's a reason for it. And there's a purpose for it. And in this season of my life, God, in this pagan nation, Daniel served king after king after king. Some great ones, some weak ones. Some good ones, some bad ones. But through all the years, God's hand never left him. And God used him in every kingdom, in every generation, every season. And everything Daniel did pointed the nation to his God. If you notice this, it didn't point the attention to Daniel. It pointed to his God. Every king, the God of Daniel. The God of Daniel. He is the God of Daniel. It all pointed to a deity higher than Daniel. And that should be all of our purpose, is that the light is diverted from us and it points to him. That's what John the Baptist said. That's how Paul felt. I mean, Paul, you know, they got in that big argument in the New Testament about who baptized who. Well, Bill Fuller baptized me, and Gail baptized me, and well, Roger baptized me, well, James Lewis baptized me. Well, I mean, really? He said, what are y'all doing? We're all baptized into one body by one spirit. It is God. We just all plant the seeds, and God gives the increase. God's the one that makes it bloom. God says, bloom. Nothing happens till God says, bloom. We can't bloom anything. It's God that blooms it. We plant a garden in the spring. All we do is put the seed in the ground. And then we have to depend on two major things, right? Three major things, I learned. Well, four or five. Anyway, here's the major thing you got. One, you depend on sun and rain and the animals to stay out of the way and not eat it all up. But when you plant that garden, you need sun, you need rain, because you can't make it grow yourself. It is dependent upon the elements of God to produce that harvest. Same way spiritually, we plant the seed, God gives the increase. What was the seed Daniel planted? Just being faithful. Just like Don, being faithful, planting a seed, just saying, I want, you know, end in a verse. You don't, you know, you're ready to go. If you don't want to be part of it, that's fine. I want to end my meeting in a verse. Planting the seed, and then God does the rest. We're just called to plant, to plant, to plant. And it may seem like we're not doing any good, but keep planting, keep sowing, keep planting, keep sowing. And I promise you, that seed is not just laying there dormant. God is working inside the life of that seed as we plant it. May not see it tomorrow. May not see it for you. I'm going to tell you something. I've learned this. You may not see it on this side of heaven, but that don't mean God's not going to do it. How many people die in the grave waiting on the Lord to return? Even Peter talked about that. Everybody says the Lord will return now for 2,000 years. Been saying it since the day of Pentecost. Things are the same. Things haven't changed. Where is he? I believe what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead shall rise. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to saying, death, where is thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be through Jesus Christ. Finish something like that, but y'all get the gist. I believe what that says. We are going to put on incorruptible. The Bible says that there will be those that remain that shall be changed. This means my grandpa died believing that. Probably my great-grandparents died believing that. Generations have died believing that. Billy Graham will pass away believing that if nothing happens between now and then. But it doesn't change the signet word of God, who stamped his ring on that word and said, so be it. It will come to pass. Church, there is a generation, just as it was prophesied by Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and call his name Emmanuel. Boom, that happened. Just as Jesus says, I shall destroy this temple in 3 days, it will rise. Boom, that happened. Just as Jesus says, wait on the promise and you shall know. 10 days later, boom, it happened. So shall there be a change of the people of God. It shall come to pass. Whether we see it or not does not mean it's not going to happen. It won't shake my faith. There will be a generation where there'll be no more funerals or casket or graves, but the trumpet will sound, and just like Enoch, we shall be ushered away into his presence, transformed into his image, because the word says it, and I believe it. Some things don't happen right now, but they will, because God has spoken it. What verse am I on, Brandon? Yes, thank you. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. This is King Darius talking. This is a pagan king. He is the living God. He is steadfast forever. His kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall be even unto the end. That's powerful. I mean, think about those words. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Who hath delivered this living God whose dominion shall go on forever and ever and ever? And nothing is going to change that. God's kingdom is already established forever and ever and ever. it's already in existence because the king has already died and already risen. And now the kingdom's been established. We're not seeing the fullness of it yet, but it's already there. It's already in place. And it will go on forever. So Daniel prospered. Here it is again. He prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. 80-some years old, God is still using Daniel to point people to the Lord. And all these leaders and all these kings are seeing the God of Daniel. Church, they can't see our God until we show them our God. And I don't mean going out and getting religious and preaching to the choir at work every day and getting on people's nerves and, you know, getting passing out Bible tracts and throwing communion oil on them and slamming down the floor and all that. Just show them God. Just walk out your life letting them recognize there is a living God in you that overcomes the things of the world. There's something about you that's different than them. They may not know what it is, but you know what it is. It's the God living in you. And when we show that God to them, we reach out with compassion and mercy and love and show them God, they will want more of what you have because they'll see the benefit of it. I guarantee you, Don, the meanings you have and the verses you read, I know you're not doing a sermon, but you are reading a verse, you may be expounding on a little bit, but you are dropping seeds in the lives of those that you never know how it's changing them. You just never know. They can go home. Don, there could be people that call on the name of the Lord you'll never know about because this guy at Alarm South read his verse, and I don't know when he read it. Something felt funny inside, and something just came alive, and I went back home and read it, and you don't know the impact you're having. Keep sowing the seed. Show them the living God. Two more verses. I thought those two kind of went together with this message. First one is found in 1 Peter. Did I put that? Yeah, I did. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. Remember, God's not your enemy, church. The devil's your enemy. God is for you. God is on your side. The devil, your enemy, is as a roaring lion walking about. He is seeking. He is desiring. He is on the hunt. Remember that old song from the 80s? I love that old song from the 80s by Duran Duran. I'm hungry like the wolves. Hungry like the wolves. That's the lion. Hungry to destroy your life. Seeking you. Desiring to bring you down. That's the devil's purpose, that he may devour you. But look what the next verse says. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. That's what Daniel did. The enemy was all around him, but Daniel said, I'm just going to be still and know the God I pray to three times a day is able to deliver me and set me free. And he was, and he did. I will be still, know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. He was. Daniel God was exalted to the Persian king. And I will be exalted in the earth. Think about this. 2,600 years later, we are reading about what happened in Daniel's life. And not just Statesville, North Carolina is reading this. China is reading about this. And North Africa, and Russia, and Germany, and South America, and Mexico. All around the world is reading what happened to Daniel, and Daniel's God is still being right now currently exalted in the heathen nations and heathen minds. Because when they read this, they're like, man, my God can't do that. What I believe in can't do that. His God did that. That's why it's important that we share God and what he's done for us so that others know. I mean, Don, your testimony is powerful, what happened at work. That's a real-life Daniel story. It really is. I'm showing my faith. Somebody's trying to falsely get me hurt from it, and they end up being the one getting gone. That is amazing. The devil sees trying to seek you, Don. He was trying to devour you in that moment, but God stood up and says, nope, not going to devour this one. He's mine. Sometimes the best thing to do is be still. Just be still, know that he's God, and trust him without trying to do a thing. And that's the hardest thing for us to do because our human tendencies are we fight, We argue, we debate, we research, we Google some more, we Google some more, and we try to find the answer. And sometimes we just need to be still and say, okay, God, I don't know what to do. I will trust you. You are the Lion King. God, you are over all my problems, over all my giants, over all my battles, over all my storms. You are over it all. Life can be stressful, and our seasons can change like that. In a moment, they can change. And I'm thankful I have the help of God to seek him in that time to figure out, okay, Lord, you ordain my steps. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know where to go. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of down times, and I know Bill, he pastored for many years, and Gail pastored, and there's a lot of down times where you're struggling, so struggling, about what to do next, and are you on the right road, and you just, there's a constant warfare going on, constant. And there's times it can be so overwhelming that you're at a point of, okay, there's nowhere to go. There's no escape. It's claustrophobic almost. I'm encompassed and enclosed by what I'm feeling, and there's no way out. And I'm so thankful I have a God who can deliver me out of that, who can bring encouragement when I need it, joy when I need it, peace when I need it, strength when I need it, power and deliverance and authority when I need it. Because my God is, as Daniel said, as King Darius said, my God is a living God. And I am so thankful for that. I know Melanie makes a joke sometimes about going to Chinese. We don't eat Chinese anymore, but and that's not a political or a bad statement, okay? Just for disclosure. Nothing against Chinese. Just don't like the food. And so she makes jokes sometimes about going in and rubbing the little belly statue, you know, they have on the counter. She says, I'm so thankful I don't have to just rub a belly, you know, to have some kind of religious belief or something. I'm so glad I've got a living God. And there's so many people that don't have that relationship with a living God. It's an idea of God, or a past history of God, or a pagan idol of God, but it's not the living God. And I am thankful that my God lives, and he lives inside of me, and he lives inside of all who call upon his name. That's a beautiful thing. He is our Lion King. No matter what is surrounding you, remember, he can and he will deliver you. He will deliver you. Any comments tonight in closing on that, or anything? I've said that many times, haven't I, y'all? I love that part where the witch doctor monkey comes to him and says, your father's alive. He's alive. Ooh, he's alive. My father's alive. He's alive. Come here. He looked over in that water, and the monkey stirred the water. Ooh. Now, you religious folks understand we don't believe in witchcraft. It's just fun, okay? Ooh, he stirred the water, and then his face appeared, the reflection of himself. And then his father's reflection came through the water, and his father spoke with that fatherly voice. James Earl Jones, I believe, right? Spoke with that voice. Mufasa. Simba, remember who you are. That gives me chills every time I see that scene. I get chills because it's so prophetic of remembering who we are. We are children of God, joint heirs with Christ. The Bible tells me that. I serve Abba Father. I serve a God who was, who is, and who always will be. I serve one who's king now and forevermore and will never lose his crown or his reign. That's the God I serve. Remember who you are. Hallelujah. I think I preached in 30 minutes. Thank you, Brandon. Remember who you are. Very good point. Anybody else? You know, you're like you said, you can't defend yourself. You're asleep. You're weak. You're out of it. And, you know, the devil torments you with dreams at night. You know, comes against your mind at night when you're laying there trying to rest, and he tries to rattle that rest at night. So it's important that we declare the peace of God upon our lives before we go to sleep at night. Declare the peace and protection and healing of God throughout the night even. Just kind of a funny, not really funny, but it's an actual fact. Most heart attacks happen on early Monday morning. Do you know that? Early Monday morning when most heart attacks happen. So, interesting. They say to drink a cup of water before bed, it helps reduce the risk of having a heart attack in your sleep. To drink a cup of water at night before you go to bed. So I guzzle about 3 bottles every night. Oh. Courtney, you good tonight, darling? Good to see you. Anybody else? I don't want to extend. I know you're ready to get home. Just want to, anybody else got anything for you? Marty, come on up here and get ready for a closeout song. If you haven't ever watched Lion King or not seen it in a long time, it's a good go back and pull it up. I know it's a kid movie, but it's got some great spiritual truths in it that you can really gather from it, I think. I think it's just a powerful movie. Another point in that movie I liked, you know, Simba was trying to run from his responsibility because he thought he killed his father. He was running from his destiny. Kind of, right, exactly. Kind of the prodigal son. Running from his destiny, living a life that he wasn't called to live. He couldn't live like a warthog. He wasn't a warthog. He couldn't live like a, whatever the other thing is, meerkat. He wasn't a meerkat. He couldn't eat bugs and insects and not have any worries. He couldn't really live a Hakuna Matata life. He was called for more. We're called for more, church. We're called to live for more than what the devil says we're supposed to live for. We're supposed to live for more. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. We pray that we take it with us. And that we remind ourselves constantly that you are over the mouths of the lions and every beast that will try to destroy our lives. You are over every enemy, over every giant, over every battle. You are bigger and greater than any force that comes against us. Greater are you, Lord, in us than anything out there that's in the world. Let us take that with us. Encourage us this week to stand in our faith like Daniel and declare it without shame, not with rebellion, not with an attitude, not with a, I'm going to do it, regardless, but with an attitude of sincerity and mercy and love and obedience. Let this word grow in our hearts and let it transform us tonight. For the offering that's received tonight, we ask you bless it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.